Okay, so I was saying before that when my brother asked me to take over Mishmar, I didn't feel comfortable, preparing stuff on the parasha. So there's a sefer that me and Jay and Mark have been learning at night, and Baruch Hashem zeichet to finish the entire sefer, and it's called Yichud Espoidus. Yichud Espoidus is a sefer by Rav Avram Tzvi Kluger. He's a big mashpia and he's a tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael, and he's young. You can meet him. He comes in from America. Who'd I bring when he came in from America? Jeff. Jeff and I went to see him when he went to Williamsburg. He's one of the sweetest, nicest Jews you'll ever meet. And it's kedai. So this sefer, to me, it helped me daven. It's called Yichud Espoidus. Now, Yichud Espoidus scares some people off because it sounds like Espoidus, like breastlovers going into the fields. So there's two things. First of all, so what? So let it be. So let it have a little breastlov taste to it. That's good too. But really, Yichud Espoidus is about tefillah. It's about your relationship with Hashem, and it's honestly helped me. It helped me daven. The mashal I would give for it. Someone once asked a Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, at the end of the day, how is the world different since the Baal Shem Tov came? At the end of the day, he brought in a lot of Torah. There were a lot of tzaddikim brought in a lot of Torah. How is the world different since with the effect of the Baal Shem Tov? So the Chassid said, ever since the Baal Shem Tov came to the world, averis are not as geshmak. You feel more guilty because you know what Hashem is in a deeper way, so averis are, it's more guilt. I'll tell you, ever since I've learned this sefer, davening without kavana is not as geshmak as it used to be. I trust me, there were times where I would daven, this is probably going to turn any time, I don't care. There were times where I would daven and you'd start Shmon Esrei and on the clock it would say 10:01, 10:01, and then you would end Shmon Esrei and it was still 10:01. You still have those tefillahs. Those tefillahs are still going to happen, but this sefer will make it feel a little more guilty. It won't be as geschmack to do that. Okay, so this is, by the way, this is the sefer. They actually just came out with a translation. You can get it on Everything Breslov for $10. I made copies. I'm going a little bit out of order. What you have in front of you is basically the first two prakim. And we'll go through it inside. We'll run through it. The words of Rav Kluger are nicer than anything else I could say. So he starts off like this. The point of the first, this shir, is to understand the mentality we're supposed to have when we daven. It's more pronounced when you do hispaydidus. By the way, hispaydidus doesn't just mean you're going to the field. Hispaydidus is when you just talk to Hashem. Rabbi Nachman stressed the importance of just talking to God. Just not during davening, just when you're driving in a car. It's okay. When you're driving in a car, there you go, okay. Hispoide is just a translation. It's just to translate. Hispoide is from Rabbi Nachman, the importance of seclusion. It's the practice of, especially amongst breastlovers, to take time during the day. Some of them really take like an hour and they go to the fields and they just talk to Hashem. But it doesn't have to be in the fields. It's just the whole sefer is basically to try to get you in the mindset when you talk to Hashem, when you're driving, just to talk to Hashem. But like I said, this will help you for your Shmon Esrei. Today's shir is really about Shmon Esrei. It's not necessarily about Hispoide. It's about tefillah. The mentality you're supposed to have when you daven. Here's the issue. There's an issue with davening. Rabbi Nachman famously said that you're supposed to make your Torah into a tefillah and your tefillah into a Torah. It's like a famous line amongst breastlovers from Rabbi Nachman in Sichas Aran that you're supposed to make your Torah into a tefillah and tefillah into a Torah. What does that mean? Torah and tefillah affect people. They're the polar opposites. Tefillah empowers you. Tefillah teaches you how much you know. Tefillah is all about conquering. Tefillah is about, it builds you up. Torah is about how much you learn. It's about how much you accomplish. It's how much you know. Torah unchecked creates gaiva. That's why, unfortunately, you have people that they could be very big talmid chachamim, over the very big bali gaiva, because Torah is all about how much you accomplished. This room over here. Torah is about how much you accomplish. It's about how much you know. Like I said, Torah unchecked creates gaiva. Then there's tefillah. Yeah, we started a few minutes ago. It's okay. We haven't gotten inside yet. If there's enough copies, if not, everyone can share. I'll make more copies next week. Torah is all about how much you know and how much you accomplish, and therefore it unfortunately can create gaiva. Tefillah is the exact opposite. Tefillah is you being a poor person begging from God for stuff three times a day. Tefillah will not create someone who's a balgaiva. It will not. If you're doing it right, it definitely won't. On the contrary, tefillah, the concern of tefillah is it'll make you feel like a shmata. If every single day you're asking for parnasa, every single time, three times a day, at some point, the concern of tefillah is actually that you'll become too humble. So Rabbi Nachman famously said, you have to make your Torah into a tefillah and your tefillah into a Torah. You have to find the balance. What Rav Kluger is going to discuss today is, what's the mentality you're supposed to have when you daven? Because like I said, the concern of davening, and this is why a lot of people don't have kavanah when they daven, the concern is you don't feel like Hashem wants to talk to you anymore. If you called up someone every single day and all you did is ask for things three times a day, at some point the relationship would not be very deep. At some point the relationship, you know, Hashem would feel like a shmata and you'd feel like a beggar. That's not good either. So what's the mentality you're supposed to have when you daven Shmoneh Esrei? So let's start. We're just going to run through inside. Most of this, like I said, the words of Kluger is nicer than anything I could say. He says like this, HaHispoidedus, Hispoidedus, again, Hispoidedus in this context means davening also. The mentality, the concept of davening is, Na'edes lahavi yichud shalem bein mashpil u'mekabel. The purpose, the job of davening is to create a connection between you and God. It's not just supposed to be that you ask for things three times a day because you have to. It's supposed to form a relationship. That's the job. That's the tachlis. It's supposed to create a relationship between you and Hashem. So he says like this. Reishis hadavar. The first thing you need to have when you start davening, the first idea, and this is the entire shiur today. It's very, a lot of Rav Kluger stuff, I would call it simple. Not in a negative way. It just means a lot of times when you're done, you know, after the shiur, you're like, wow, that makes a lot of sense. Just seems simple, but it's, you just didn't think of it before. Reishis hadavar, the first thing you have to think about, and this is what we'll talk all about today, is shamashpia koines elavis amakabel ba'oifin shemegadol koimasai. The number one prerequisite to davening is to believe and to understand, and this is what we'll focus on today and next year also, we'll go in a deeper way. The avoid of davening, you cannot start to daven unless you believe that Hashem wants to talk to you. That Hashem is interested in the conversation. If the mentality is that you're just bothering him, that you're just a poor person knocking on the rich person's door, and we have people here, you know, you go to every shul in the morning, there are poor people that come. Half the time you could tell, not half the time, almost all the time you could tell that the rich person has no interest in dealing with the poor person, and it's a nuisance. It's a necessary nuisance. But it is a nuisance. If your mentality of davening is that, you will have no success. You'll have no relationship. Maybe Hashem will do what you say, and maybe you'll speak to him, but you'll have no relationship. He says, "Biderech mashal," and this is the entire mashal that we'll focus on today, is ka'oni hamagil beis anoisin. The relationship of us and Hashem, on its simplest form, through davening, is we're a poor person asking the rich person, Hashem, for things. That relationship, b'derech moshel, k'oni ha-megil, b'es ha-noisein, v'ein ha-noisein mistabi b'etzam ha-nesina, el meir pon v'liboy v'sameach l'krosoy, u'mevat ha-zois b'amir toiv shi'gata. If a poor person goes to a rich person's house and knocks on the door, and we'll see today, and the rich person just throws money at him, then the poor person doesn't feel good about that. Yeah, he got money. He doesn't feel close to the rich person. But if the rich person says to him, I'm glad that you came, then all of a sudden you feel less guilty. All of a sudden, you know what? Oh, maybe I'm not a nuisance. He's happy that I came. And we'll explore today how the evolution in middle of Shmoneh Esrei. We're going to see the Arizal said that the process of Shmoneh Esrei is to build up that feeling in a Jew. But says Rav Kluger, if the rich person says to the poor person, I'm happy that you came, all of a sudden the poor person feels a lot less guilty. All of a sudden it's you feel a lot less like a shmata. So he says, on the next paragraph, we'll skip a little bit, B'kach niskalta haskama klolus lehiskashus, by the rich person saying, I'm glad you came, then all of a sudden the relationship is, there's like permission. He gave you permission to come. All of a sudden you're not a nuisance anymore. So he says, adayin b'lilis yachis l'protius ma'ilis ha'mekabel, you don't have to get into the details. But conceptually, if the rich person is happy that I'm came, he said, oh, I'm glad you came, come on in. Then it's much more pleasant. It's much more pleasant. You could actually have a relationship now. You could start having a relationship. So says Rav Kluger, that's what happens every time you daven Shemoneh Esrei. It's Hashem is saying, I'm glad that you came. Now he doesn't necessarily say it. He's saying it, you have to listen for it. You have to have sensitive ears to hear it. He says a couple lines later, when a Jew goes into davening and he hears this expression from Hashem of Toiv Sheigata, I'm so glad that you called. Every time a Jew davens, he has to hear Hashem say, I'm glad that you came. Then you can now daven. Now you can begin to talk to Hashem in a real way. We're going to go through this the entire Sefer, that the object of Shemoneh Esrei is not just to ask for things in a robotic way, it's to talk to Hashem in a real way, to talk to Him about your day, to tell him your hopes and your fears. Really talk to Him. That's Rabbi Nachman's stress, to the ability to just talk to Hashem. You can't do that unless you think that you're wanted. He says, that you all of a sudden you feel like a person now, that Hashem wanted me to come. And now I'm not a nuisance anymore. He says in the next paragraph, the reason why this is important is because to form a relationship with Hashem, Hashem is godless, Hashem is greatness. You can't come into that from a small mindset. Smallness and greatness don't combine. You have to realize your importance when you go into daven. Okay, so now let's get into this. Let's go into this mashal. Go to Dalet. He's going to use this mashal of a poor person and a rich person and to see the steps of how a rich person can actually form a relationship with a poor person and how this actually happens when you daven. He says like this, B'mashal ha'ashir va'ani dalala, in this mashal of a rich person and a poor person, yaveh b'yeser hispartus darkei ha'yichud b'mashmin l'kabel. This is the key to fully understand our relationship and our connection with Hashem, especially through tefillah. He says like this, go to hey. I'll be jumping a little bit. It's all pretty simple. The worst form of a relationship, this is not a relationship at all. This is before you get to Shemoneh Esrei. Let's go with a rich person and a poor person. Yesh ani hamagila asher. You could have a poor person that goes to a rich person's house. And the rich person gives him the money. He slides it through the mail post and he says, I can't open the door, and he gives him the money. And even if the rich person is doing this not to embarrass him, he's a big tzaddik, and he's doing what the Rambam says, the highest form of tzedakah, one of the highest forms of tzedakah, is to give it to him in a way that he doesn't even know who it's coming from, so he's not embarrassed. So a poor person comes to the rich person's house, and you give him $100, you slip it in. See, he says, b'matzav kazeh, in such a situation, loy noitzer kol kesher mamoshi b'neim. There's no relationship. You got your money, he got his mitzvah, but you have nothing more than that. There's zero relationship between the two. Hanoisin shneim shuruyim b'chasheicha min hakesher. Both are in darkness when it comes to their relationship. Hanoisin hisig mitzvah la'atzmai. The rich person gave money, he gave his tzedakah, he got his mitzvah. Hamekabel hisig mamon. The poor person got his money. They both got what they wanted and they left. Such a relationship with Hashem, a Jew does not have. That's like the curse that they have. The Medrash said in last week's parasha that the Nachash is cursed, that his food will be like the dust of the earth. So it's a famous Medrash. What do you mean? How is that a bad thing? His food is everywhere. So the answer is, yeah, his food is everywhere. But he has no relationship with Hashem at all. Hashem is like, it's like a father telling the child, here's $500,000, I never want to talk to you again. So yeah, you got your money, he gave you the money, but you have no relationship. So obviously that's not what's happening with you and Hashem. No Jew would ever go through that. So what is the process? Let's begin with the basic relationship that the poor person and the rich person can have, and we'll see how it slowly grows to what it really is. And we'll talk next week in a deeper way, in a very deep way next week, but today is more simple. Go to Vav. Yesh nesina acharis. Let's go with the simplest relationship that a poor person and a rich person could have. Shanoisin mekadim es mekabel ba'amira mechbedes. Where the rich person, instead of just throwing $50 at him, he says, Toiv shigata. Oh, thank you for coming. He says something nice to him. I'm so glad you came. And he says, umaviu pnima helchala. He brings him into his house. Maybe gives him a drink. Thank you for coming. Oiterim shemedabrim kol tzarichus v'alamamin. Before he even asks for any money, he says, you know, sit down. Can I get you some? Can I get you a drink? Reishis kol meir ponim la'avroi. He smiles at him. Umar eloi shesameich b'zeh shigia. And he shows him he's happy that he came. He's very happy. La'achar mikan, and after this, kasher mekabel misaper es hanitzruch loy. Then he finally gets to what they're going to talk about. He gets to the money. He says, Anu, what are you collecting for? And he says, I'm collecting for hachnasas kala. And he says, oh, thank you so much. It's such a big mitzvah, gevaldik. I'm so glad that you hachnasas kala. I have money right for you, gevaldik. That's pretty good. That's, so you could say that's us with Hashem. We knock on his door, and he says, oh, I'm so glad you came. Come on in. What do you want? Oh, you want parnasa? Oh, Baruch Hashem, I have parnasa right for you, gevaldik. Aval hanal avadayin bibichinas chibik desmol. The Arizal called that relationship with Hashem a hug with the left hand. It's a hug, but it's like a dead fish. It's a handshake, but it's not a good handshake. It's a hug, but it's a hug with the left hand. Why? Because he says, Ki acharei kol divrei hanoisein adayin memain lev hamekabel melahamin shochin hanoisei sameich bay be'emes. Because if you would ask this poor person, do you really believe that he's happy that you came? No. Yeah, he said he's so happy. You really think he's happy? No. He's being polite. He's just being polite. He's a nice guy. He knows that I feel like garbage, and he's trying to make me feel a little better. He doesn't believe it. He says the Lashon of Kluger is Yoishiv bebigdei hagolah shaloi b'toyich haheichala asher. He's still in his poor clothing in the house of the rich person. He doesn't believe it. The rich person can say, I'm so glad that you came. The poor person doesn't believe it. If that's your relationship with Hashem, that you go into Shemona Esrei thinking that Hashem says to you, I'm glad that you came, that's not great. Because you don't believe it. At the end of the day, you're still asking for Parnassah, you're still asking for Shidduchim, you're still asking for Refuah for the last 10 years. You don't believe it. He says, V'koshaloi lahashlim be'emes sha'anoisin sameich l'krasai. And you have a hard time believing the truth. You really have a hard time believing that Hashem is happy that you came. If you still have a hard time believing that, then you have not fully formed your relationship with Hashem. He's hugging you, but it's a hug with the left hand. It's like you come to Hashivenu and my father's not here and I give you a hug. It's a hug, but it's not what you're looking for. You know what I mean? It's not, my heart's not in it. So he says, the poor person just says to himself, oh, he wants to make me feel good. He's being polite. And that's it. We don't actually have a relationship. Like, I can't call him tomorrow and ask him how he's doing. He would be like, enough. Like, I gave you your money. We had the back and forth. I was polite with you, but genuk, that's enough. And the poor person says to himself, you know what? This rich guy probably says this to everybody that comes. Every poor person that comes, he probably does the same spiel. It's the same spiel. You go on Purim night, the guy brings him in. Oh, so glad that you came. What's your Dvar Torah? Whatever, who are you collecting for? And get out. It's polite. It's nothing more than that. He says, Rakasha Yam and Be'emes. You have to go to the next stage. The next stage is to believe. You have to now believe that he's actually happy that you came. So how do you do that? How does the rich person portray that he's actually happy that the poor person came? So the next paragraph he says, if you want to make a poor person feel welcome, it's not enough to bring him into your house, and it's not enough to say, I'm glad that you came. Talk to him. Right? If you talk to him about his interests, you ask him his advice, you start to talk to him in a way that seems real. You have a good schmooze. When you start to schmooze with someone, then you start to think, okay, maybe now we have something here. He probably doesn't do this with everybody. When he just says, I'm glad that you came, okay, he probably does it to everybody. But he starts to schmooze with him. Oh, you heard what happened on Fox News, whatever that is, I don't care. The Giants are playing tonight, whatever, you schmooze. Then all of a sudden, the relationship gets a little more complex. It's a little more meaningful. Then he says, a couple lines later, when the poor person is like, oh, he's asking me my advice. Maybe the playing field is becoming a little more even. All of a sudden, he says, but he starts to believe him a little bit. So if you look in the small brackets, The Arizal says, now I don't know the Kabbalistic reasons for this. That's the other Zakatinsky. But he says, Al Zeh HaDerech, Kosev Arizal. Again, the process of your relationship with Hashem is, you have to, before you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you have to aleph, believe that Hashem's happy that you came. If you don't believe that, then you'll have a 4-minute Shemoneh Esrei in every shtibel, and that's what it is. Where over years of, you don't want to talk to him, you don't think he wants to talk to you, that evolves into the 2-minute Shemoneh Esrei, where halfway through people are looking around. That's how that evolves. Because you don't want to talk to him anymore. He doesn't want to talk. You don't think he wants to talk to you. And you do it because you have to go to shul. You know, because it'll really look bad. That, by the way, I mentioned this once. It's an interesting part from the Chavetz Chaim. The Chavetz Chaim writes this in the bottom of Nidchei Yisrael. It's a fascinating thing. He says that the reason why before Mashiach comes, he was writing this in the 1880s. He said that the reason why the Jews are now going to America, Nidchei Yisrael was for the Jews in America. The Jews that were coming to America famously were throwing their tefillin, you know, off the boat. So he wrote a whole sefer for those Jews, and he said the reason why is it that right before Mashiach comes, all of a sudden, within like 60 years, Yimamish had like everyone in Europe to now Eretz Yisrael, America, Canada, England, Mamish spreading out in ways that had never happened before. So the Chavetz Chaim said, because everyone was sort of from in Europe, but a lot of them were just doing it because in a small shtetl, it's very hard to be the only guy that doesn't keep Shabbos in a small shtetl. But there were a lot of people, writes the Chavetz Chaim, that didn't actually want to keep Shabbos, but they had to because of peer pressure. Says the Chavetz Chaim, what Hashem is doing is he wants to quickly find out who's real. So send them to America. In America, nobody knew who you were. Nobody cared. You're new here. You could be whatever you wanted to be. You can cut off half your name. Instead of Mendelowitz, you're, Markson, and you could just cut off the payas, and you could pretend you're not Jewish. Or you could actually come here and be Asfrum and show that you were doing L'Shem Shemayim. So the Chavetz Chaim said that it was Hashem's way of revealing very quickly. Because Mashiach's coming. He wants to know who his real soldiers are. So the Chavetz Chaim writes. So the reason why people are just davening very quickly is because their heart's not in it. They don't think Hashem's heart is in it. Okay, so I do what I'm told, because if I stop going to shul, it'll look funny. I remember I went through a weird stage when I was in 10th grade where I wanted to be fully Chabad, all in. I felt like it was more of a halachic thing. I was confused about doing some mishabura. So the first thing I did to be fully Chabad was I stopped wearing a tie. I felt like that was the first thing to really separate myself. And I remember after the third Shabbos, someone came over to me in Rabbi Bergmanshul, and he leaned in during davening, and he said, I don't know what you're going through personally, but put a tie on. Now, I remember that's what he said. The point is, like, a lot of times you do things just because of peer pressure. Because how would it look like? This morning, by the way, I had to, we were going to daven in one place, and then I went to Bergmanshul, and I didn't have a hat and jacket. And I remember I was telling Jeff that part of me didn't want to. I was a little embarrassed. And then I thought to myself, I'd have no problem davening in my basement without a hat and jacket. I'm more embarrassed that people are, okay, let's be a little honest. So you have to just deal with it a little bit. But like this. So to Aleph, to start, if you start Shemoneh Esrei, you have to believe that Hashem is happy to talk to you. But here's where the evolution happens. A, it has to be, it starts off that Hashem is Toiv Shebasa. Hashem is glad that you came. But that's not enough, because if you tell a poor person, I'm glad you came, he doesn't believe it either. Then the relationship gets a little deeper, you start schmoozing. What do you like? What do I like? It's like a little bit like Lahavda, like a date. You start to share information with each other, and then all of a sudden you think, oh, maybe we have something here. He writes in the brackets, V'alzeh haderech kosev Arizal shepules elu nefales begimel brachos rishaynis et tefilas Shemoneh Esrei. The Arizal said, Kabbalistically, this is happening during the first three tefilas, the first three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei. Again, whether you're aware of it or not, but the first three brachos of Shemoneh Esrei, a Jew is going from not believing that Hashem wants to talk to him, and if he's sensitive, by the end of the first three brachos, he'll really believe that we had a conversation, that we have a back and forth. Yeah, I haven't asked for anything yet, but we're just talking. I'm telling you about how great you are. You're listening to me. We have something here. We have something going. That's the first three brachas. But says Rav Kluger, that's not enough. Why is that not enough? We had a good conversation. I thought we hit it off. Hey, let's go in the dating example. A lot of times you had a really good conversation, right? But then after the first date, nothing. He doesn't want to go out again. She doesn't want to go out again. Why? You can have a good conversation, but you'd ask the person, would you rather not have gone? Yeah. He explains this perfectly. Go to it's we're up to Chas. Bram Kan Yesh Lahavin, here's where it gets a little deeper. And by the way, next week we'll explain this on a much deeper level, and it'll be very interesting next week. He says like this, Hanal Havarak Haschala, having a good conversation with Hashem, having mentally like, oh, we had a good conversation, I think we hit it off a little bit, that's not enough. Why? You're not there yet. Why? Because he says, you're going to have two people that sit next to each other and have a great conversation. They mamish hit it off. Two people are sitting and they're schmoozing and it's a gavalik, it's a great date. His example is, let's keep it, you know, completely Kaddish and with two men. What's the example? He says, you're sitting at a wedding, right? And you're waiting an hour and 45 minutes for the chuppah, for the chassan and kala to come out, whatever they're doing. For an hour and 45 minutes you're sitting there, so there's only two people at the table. So you're schmoozing. And you're really like, it's a geschmacka conversation, and you're really hitting it off. You really had like a good conversation for like a good hour. I asked him and his advice, he asked me my advice, we were talking about business, it was like gavaldik. But he says, it's still very external. Why? If you'd ask the guy, if I gave you a choice to never have gone to the wedding, and obviously not offending the Bali Simcha, you never went to the wedding, and you never met that guy, you would take it in a heartbeat. I think if you'd ask the a lot of people there, I can give you an out, and you don't offend the Bali Simcha. Yeah, okay, I'm at home. But that guy at that table that you talked to, you had a really good conversation. Yeah, I'm okay. I can never have that conversation again, and I'll be fine. The problem with even the first step of Shemoneh Esrei, the first three brachas, are to try to enforce within the heart of the Jew that Hashem wants to talk to you and that you had a good conversation. And you're like hitting it off a little bit. The problem is, if you believe that that's enough, then you're still flawed. Why? Because you can have a good conversation with someone, but that person would never call you. You could have a poor person that goes to a rich person's house and he calls him into his house and he says, I'm so glad you came and you have a schmooze and you were talking for 2 hours. But if you'd ask the rich person, would you call him to come to your house? No. He called on the phone, so okay, we had a good conversation. It's like if, you know, not Chas v'Shalom, not with me, but you talk to like a grandparent or whatever, or an uncle, an aunt, and you like, they're talking for like 3 hours and you just held the phone down. You had a great conversation. And it was gavaldik. Would you call them? No. He called me. I'm not calling him. The deeper relationship with Hashem is, you have to understand the truth, which is, it's not just that Hashem is willing to talk to you when you get on the phone. When you daven Shemoneh Esrei, he's willing to talk to you, and he'll even have a good conversation. It's that he's waiting for the phone call. And that's a very subtle, important difference. That every time you daven, Hashem all day long is waiting to speak to you. And not just that when you speak to him, he'll be soivel and he'll deal with the conversation and he'll make the best of it. We're going to see next week in a deeper way, Shlomo HaMelech says that Hashem, and this is a medrash from Rishim Ben Yechai, he darshens a pasuk that Hashem first calls Klal Yisrael his sister, and then he calls us his mother. We give to Hashem is not just, it's not just that we're the poor person and he's the giver. On a deep way, we'll see next week, we give something to Hashem too. When you have a parent that they're waiting all day to speak to their kid, and the kid gets on the phone and he even asks for stuff. That's the whole point of the conversation. He's just asking for stuff. It's not just that the kid is taking from the parent. The kid is giving to the parent because the parent has been waiting for that phone call all day. The relationship is now a lot deeper. It's not just that he's willing to deal with you. He wants to call you. He just, for whatever reason, can't. Some relationships, they can't be the one to call you. Hashem can't get on the phone to call you. But if we're up to him, he would. That's the mentality you have to have. He says on the next page, on the back of the page, we'll run through this very quickly. We'll be done in 5 minutes. Nimsa Shadayin, he says like this. Go to the second paragraph. Kedei lechaber hiskashas panimis, to really have a relationship with Hashem, shemakabel yovin shanoisin zokuk elov. V'doirish es kirvosei ba'oifin de mechachila. You have to understand that Hashem is waiting to speak to you. And like I said, these things are very simple, and you might walk away thinking, oh, that was pretty fluffy. But I got to tell you, I learned this entire Sefer with Jay and Mark. It has changed my davening, and this is me as being a chazan. I still am able to have a shtickle kavan. Because when you go into davening realizing that Hashem has been waiting for hours to speak to you, and He wants to hear about your day, that's why Rabbi Nachman always stressed the importance of just talking to Him, because He wants to hear about your day. It's not boring to Him. It's not a nuisance. Then your relationship can actually get a lot deeper. He says, Nefesh b'nefesh, l'zet tzarech marechas iskashus chadash l'gami. That's a whole different relationship than just meeting a guy or going on a date once and then never calling them again. You know why you can go on a date once and never call? And by the way, this is from someone who is single. I told Shachanim this, so they don't understand this. You can go on a date once and never call that person again, even if you had a good time, is because you had no relationship. You had a good conversation, but there was no yachas. I told it to a shotgun once, and she said, I don't know what that means. I was thinking, like, oh my God, you're married. I don't know what that means. A relationship. There was no yachas. There was no meaning to it. It was like talking to your mailman for 3 hours. Okay. You'll never have that with a parent. You'll never have it where you'd be like, I can never see that person again. No, because you want to talk to him, and he wants to talk to you, and you know that. So he says, you'll no longer feel like a nuisance, you'll no longer feel like a tircha. It'll become revealed to you that the giver, in this case Hashem, that the giver is actually the receiver. That Hashem is actually gaining more from davening than you are. More that the mother wants to give the milk than the baby wants to milk. That Hashem actually gains more from our davening. He gains so much hanah from just talking to us, more than we gain from Him. The whole point of the Sefer is to deprogram you. Davening is not just you begging from Hashem that you're down here and He's up here. I'll tell you very quickly about the author. The author of the Sefer is relatively young. He's a big tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael. And when he came to Williamsburg, I schlepped Jeff along. And he spoke Yiddish the whole time, so it was kind of a waste for us, because I didn't understand Yiddish. As Jeff told Rav Kluger, no, it was the other guy who told him, no, we don't understand anything. Rav Kluger turned to the,
Jack.
Oh, Jack. He turns to Jack and Jeff, sitting together, and he says in the middle of the shir, Ata fashtein, you understand? So he says, Am ata mevin? And Jack just leans and he says, oh no, we understand nothing. It was just very, the way he said it was just very polite. We understand nothing. And then he got someone to translate. So the whole night was a shtickle. I don't know, I felt like a little bit of a, like I felt a, like bad schlepping him all the way to Williamsburg. So I decided at the end of the night, at least let me go get a bracha from Rav Kluger. So I went at the front and I shook his hand and I was waiting for him to like offer a bracha. Like I've been by, you know, tzaddikim and they just jump right into it. He didn't say anything. So I said to him in Hebrew, I said, can I get a bracha? So he said, my bracha to you is that you should appreciate how sweet you are in the eyes of Hashem. That's my bracha. So my brother, by the way, got the same bracha. And then my brother said to him, I have something specific I need. I have a problem that I want to take. He said, no, that's your problem. Everything else can be fixed. What he did was, when you ask for a bracha, as someone who's done this before, the tzaddik's up here and you're down here. And you're the one, can I please have a bracha? What he did was he evened the playing field. That's what davening is supposed to be. Davening is supposed to be a conversation. It's supposed to be a give and take. It's supposed to be this, and again, Shmon Esri also is supposed to be just talking. Talking to him in a real way. That's what the relationship is supposed to be. By the way, Rav Kluger, for the record, when I got into him was there was a sefer, Divrei Chacham ben Achas. Divrei Chacham ben Achas, the first piece, is the importance of chassidus and tefillah. And this type of shir that we're at right now. And he says, and this hit me very hard when I heard this, because I've been around yeshivas, and I think we all have seen this. He said that Klal Yisrael has a heart and it has a mind. The mind of Klal Yisrael, you can spend yeshiva 18 hours a day sharpening your mind. And you could have rabbanim that are in their 60s, that their mind is incredibly sharp. But he says their hearts are as unimpressive as a 10-year-old. They've spent no energy working on their heart. And that hit me very much. Tefillah, if you still daven the same way that you did when you're 13, that's a problem. That's what this whole thing's to change, is that Hashem wants to talk to you more than you want to speak to Him. And that'll also make you feel a lot more guilty, as I said before. This will make you feel guilty when you have a bad Shemoneh Esrei, because Hashem was like, okay, that wasn't great, but I'll wait for Ma'ariv. All right, maybe next Ma'ariv, maybe next Shacharis. It's like a parent that, you know, the child's in Israel, and they called, and it's like, everything's great, okay, I'll see you later. And the parent's like, okay, all right, well, wait till the next one. That's what it's like. So he says like this, Rak mikoyach kach yuchal makabal avres hashel vasheni, then you can get to the real Madrega. I'll tell this outside. Look, he says in the brackets at the bottom, in the bottom above, because of Arizal, Shekesher Yoisi Pnimizeh, this revelation that Hashem has been waiting to speak to you, that happens during the middle 12 brachas. The first three brachas is to ingrain within you, I don't know how, by the way, just Alpi Kabbalah, this is what's happening, whether we're sensitive to it or not. The first three brachas is to ingrain within you that you have a relationship with Hashem, that you're not just a poor person, you know, a shmata asking for money. The next 12 brachas is to ingrain within you that Hashem actually wants to speak to you, maybe even more than you want to speak to Him. Then you can get to Sim Shalom. He says over here in the next paragraph, I'll tell you outside, Sim Shalom is funny because you're asking for peace. The problem is that the process of Shemoneh Esrei is that all requests are supposed to happen in the middle. So what's Sim Shalom? You know what Sim Shalom is? Shalom is the name of Hashem. Sim Shalom is you finally get to the Madrega where you're just like, Hashem, I don't want things anymore. I just want to be with you. I just want to talk to you. Sim Shalom is just, Hashem, just me and you. Shalom. I just want to sit with peace. No longer stuff. I don't need that thing to form the relationship. Our relationship doesn't have to be a cash register. There was a person in the neighborhood, I think you guys know, on Purim a couple years ago. He dressed up as a cash register. It says, my kid's perspective, and then it was an ATM. That's not what it is, Sim Shalom. I just want Shalom. That's the mentality you're supposed to have when you go into Shemoneh Esrei. Now, next week, we'll finish off with the Sichas Aran. Next week, Bezer Hashem, we'll explain a little deeper of why is this? Why is Hashem waiting for you? And we'll hopefully, I'm going to try to make each shiur self-contained, therefore if you miss one, it won't be terrible. But that's the mentality you have to have, and it's simple, that Hashem is waiting to speak to you. Mamish three times a day. Let's just end off with a piece of Rabbi Nachman. This is from Sichas Aran, Ois Zayin. This is also helpful. It's, I think, in the same vein. Toiv ma'oid misha yochal lishpach sichoi lefnei Hashem yisparach berachamim sachnunim kiben hamaschat lefnei aviv. It is a very good thing if you can daven before Hashem like a child talks to a father. If you could just talk to Hashem like a child. Like a little kid that just talks. Little kids just talk. That's how you should daven. Just talk. Talk to Hashem. Tell Him everything. Hopes, dreams, fears, all these things. Like a child. Ki aloi Hashem yisparach kvar karanu banim. Hashem called you His kid. Banim atem. K'may shekasa banim atem l'Hashem. Hashem already established the relationship. It's not being presumptuous. I've been told I would assume, I feel this pretty strongly, that there are certain yeshivas where Hispoidus would be frowned upon because they would say, who do you think you are that you could talk to Hashem that way? He's a melech. No. Hashem already established the relationship as banim atem. Rabbi Nachman says, you're not being presumptuous. You're not being chutzpedik. He called you banim. You're just acting like what He said. And this is where it gets two lines later. This is where the key is. Vaf im nidbela adam shalafi maisav ena keben. But what if you haven't been acting like a son? What if you've been doing a lot of averus and you don't feel worthy of the title of son? So your Shemoneh Esrei has become very robotic because you say, he doesn't want to talk to me anymore. I've ruined that bridge. I've ruined that relationship. Says Rabbi Nachman, im kol zeh, afal pikein, halei Hashem yisbarach karanu banim. That's not up to you to decide. You can't decide to not be His kid anymore. You don't have the prerogative to do that. He already called you His son. You could act not like His son all you want, but that's not up to you to decide. A child can't go to the father and say, you know, I have been acting really bad. I don't think I'm your son anymore. The parent can say, it's not up to you to decide. I've made you my son, and that's it. He says, "V'im'atahu megarashosi chas v'shalom." If Hashem wants to cancel that relationship, then He says, "Mibchinas ben hatoyv ben aviyase." It's Hashem's prerogative. If Hashem wants to get up and decide, you know what? Klal Yisrael are no longer my children, chas v'shalom. That's His decision. But you know what? Alai lasis hashali. You do your job, which is lasis atzmi keben. You act like a son. He called you a son, and until he tells you otherwise, it's not up to you to decide. So even if you haven't been, you don't feel worthy of talking to Hashem, you don't feel like you've been acting like he wants to hear you, that's not for you to decide. A parent still wants to hear the child, and until the parent says stop, you don't stop. It's like there's a famous video from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, it's Kedar to say, that there was a priest, a Jewish person who became a priest, who went to the Rebbe, and he brought him his missionary book. It's a famous video. I actually saw the ending that he was Chayz B'tshuva, they say. I saw the ending of the video, that's like a new edition. But he goes to the Rebbe, and he said, I was Jewish, and I'm no longer Jewish, and I'm Catholic now. So the Rebbe said, once you're a Jew, it's not up to you to decide that you're not a Jew. You could just make your life more complicated. But you can never just make yourself not a Jew. And he said, I know, but I'm Catholic now. He said, it's not your decision to make. That's up to God. And that's where Rabbi Nachman says, the avoid of tefillah, the one thing to walk away from today is the mentality you're supposed to have by Shemoneh Esrei. And again, we'll elaborate this in the next coming weeks. And we'll do, that's why the Sefer is really not about this. It's about your relationship with Hashem, is to realize that Hashem wants to talk to you more than you want to talk to Him. And even if you haven't been acting like a son, that's not for you to decide. You have to do your job, which is, I'm acting like what God called me, banim atem, ben kach ben kach, banim him. Okay. Until Hashem decides otherwise, we're still His children. And therefore you have the right and the obligation to talk to Him that way. And it's not chutzpahdik, and it's not disrespectful, and it's not presumptuous. It's what Hashem wants. And this will help change the tefillah. It'll help change the perspective of davening. Okay, Shkai, so Bez Hashem, next week we'll continue in this sefer. And like I told, my plan is to go through the whole sefer. I went through with Mark. It was great. And around Hanukkah time, maybe we'll take a couple weeks and we'll go through his sfarim on Hanukkah and so on and so forth. Shkai.